listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Art thou weary? Art thou languid? Art thou sore distressed? Come to me, said one, and coming be at rest. Is there diadem as monarch that his brow adorns? Yea, a crown is very surety, but of thorns. Reading today from Jeremiah, chapter 12, verse 10. But before we read that, I'd like to read one verse from the song that we just sang, a song that may not be too familiar, but has wonderful words. If I ask him to receive me, will he say me nay? Not till earth and not till heaven pass away. Yes, as we read Jeremiah, we read of dire predictions and those which came true. Terrible, terrible destruction, death, suffering. And yet, we may be sure there were some who did as that song stated, if I ask him to receive me. There was Daniel and others. And let's remember that as well. Ask that we can understand these words, that we may not see them more negative than they are, nor more positive than they are. Both ways that we may see it rightly, for not only the history of the past, but as applicable to us today, in our nation and every nation. Jeremiah 12, verse 10, many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate, because no man layeth it to heart. The spoilers are come upon all high places, through the wilderness, for the sword of the Lord shall devour from the end of the land even to the other end of the land. No flesh shall have peace. They have sown wheat, but they shall reap thorns. They have put themselves to pain, but shall not profit. And they shall be ashamed of your revenues because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord against all my evil neighbors that touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit. Behold, I will pluck them out of their land and pluck out the house of Judah from among them. And it shall come to pass that after I have plucked them, will I return and have compassion on them and will bring them again, every man to his inheritance and every man to his land. It shall come to pass, if they will diligently learn the ways of my people, to swear by my name, the Lord liveth, as they taught my people to swear by Balaam, then shall they be built in the midst of my people. But if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, saith the Lord. There may be many that will not pay attention to such words for the present time. There may be many that despise or even rebel. But let's remember that this is the word of the living God, which at that time and shortly after, in the years ahead, were fulfilled in what was spoken then, and will still be fulfilled in what may be spoken of our days, and sometimes spoken of as the latter days. Remember what we read from the pen of Peter. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is not a private interpretation. Jeremiah didn't just write this out of his own mind. He wrote it as God spoke it to him. Sometimes it's thus saith the Lord. Sometimes it's the Lord speaking in the first person. As he said here, I have caused my people to inherit. I this, I that. And as the prophet Isaiah, look unto me, God speaking directly. And many times we have that. Not only when the Lord Jesus was here on earth that we have his words as they were recorded in many Bibles and read, but in these prophecies as well. The Lord speaks, and man just writes down as God speaks, like a secretary would write a letter of her employer. Write this to that person. And here we have these words to those people at that day, but writing also to us in our day. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Yes, doctrine. The doctrine of God, the doctrine of his ways, the doctrine of his people, the doctrine of the world, the doctrine of the present, the doctrine of the future. God gives it. Scripture is profitable for that. And if we don't believe that, if we haven't received it, it's profitable for reproof. We need to be reproved. We need to be put in line. We need to be subject to God. For correction, there's hope. God can correct us if we're wrong. And the wonderful last statement that Paul gives to Timothy, instruction in righteousness. Yes, through it all. If we come as we read here, no flesh shall have peace, or they shall be ashamed, and they put themselves to pain. If we realize that rightly, we can go not only to God, but to God through Christ. Let's do that now in prayer. Our Father, we give thanks for these words. We give thanks for the privilege of prayer, that we can come to Thee, the Holy God, the Eternal God, the Everlasting God, the God of all the earth, the God of all nations, the only true God. And we can come to Thee through Jesus Christ, Thy Son, Thy Eternal Son, and also the one who was born a man, lived, died, and was taken again from the grave by Thee. And that same power can be given to us, and we beg in His name that it might be given to the church, and that many in the world also will experience it, that power of Thy resurrection, Lord Jesus, that we might be lifted from the deadness of our sin into the ways of new life, spiritual life, faith, all of that from Thee, Lord Jesus, who art not only the object of faith, but the author and finisher of our faith. We ask it and give thanks in Thy name. Amen. As we continue here, these words, we are going slowly, but there is much to think of. Not just to pass by, and as James says, as one that looks in a mirror and forgets what manner of man he is. I'm afraid that that is taking place. I think of the awakenings that are spoken of in Scripture. When Josiah, during this time of Jeremiah, was awakened, and before this, had some time of revival, he said, "Great is the wrath of the Lord upon us. What must we do?" He sent, and there was a prophetess that told him what was to come, what was to come in his time, and what was to come later. And all of that did take place. Yes, the Bible is a book written, the only book written, that can not only tell us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, but also can tell us the future. For 4,000 years, God spoke of the coming of Christ. 2,000 years ago, He came on this earth, born in Bethlehem, born of a virgin, born under the law, born to redeem those who were under the law, under God's holy law, guilty. And these people were there too, these people in the time of Jeremiah. But for the most part, they thought they kept the law. And they even said the law will not depart from the prophet and from the priest. As we can read a little bit later in this prophecy of Jeremiah, they were content in their own righteousness, even though they were sinning terribly. Sinning in such a way they were about to be destroyed. And yet, as we saw in the first part of this chapter, Jeremiah had to say, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they that happy, that deal very treacherously?" Happy. Happy, and they're sinning, dealing treacherously. Called earlier, treacherous Judah. Later, described, without them knowing it, and oft times without us knowing it, it's still true today, the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it? Here is a proof of it. Dealing treacherously with God, with each other, and then happy. Yes, foolish, blind. And the worst part, probably the very worst, as we read the first verse, and we considered it last week, but I want to say a few things about it again and pray that God will lead us in this so we do it rightly. As I said, not too negative, not wrongly positive, but that we may know the truth. Many pastures have destroyed my vineyard. When I was thinking of this, for this message today, I thought about God's beginning with me. Two beginnings. One is when I was born, 80 years ago. The other was when I was born again, 50 years ago, or 52 years ago. And when I was born again, God sent two books my way, written by an old Baptist pastor. One of them was How God Saved a Baptist Preacher. He preached for 25 years, then God awakened him that he was a hypocrite, and he had to be saved. And the other book that he also wrote, and I read, and that one really struck me, unclothed me, made me see my guilt. It was called False Prophets. And it, though I wasn't a preacher, I wasn't a prophet, yet it showed me what I was before God, because I believed those things that false prophets taught. And I loved them, just like these people here In the time of Jeremiah, the false prophets cried, peace, peace, and there was no peace. And the people loved to have it so. Yes, when there was no peace, we could call it manufactured a peace by lies. Even though, as we read here in the 12th verse, no flesh shall have peace. But they tried to get a peace. Why would they cry peace, peace when there's no peace? Why would they have to cry it? Because evidently it wasn't there. They tried to give it to each other. They cried peace, peace. Is Jeremiah right? Can these judgments be right? And even some of the princes and some of the people would ask the question and say, well, didn't this happen before? Weren't there those who prophesied before of the evil that was going to come upon us? And what did the people do then? Did they then kill the prophets? And some would think this way, some would think that way. And we have the same thing today. There were some people that when a message like this is preached, they want nothing to do with it. What's he trying to say? And there are others who are saying, this is the truth that we have to believe. Yes, it is. And if you believe the truth as it is from God, of God, and of yourself, you will also want to know the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. You will want what we sang and what I quoted afterwards. If I ask him to receive me, that's an all-encompassing blessing for time and eternity. Children of the devil can ask God to receive them. As one man wrote when he was writing a commentary on Ephesians chapter 1 and 2, God chooses his children out of Satan's family. And that's what we must learn. John the Baptist called those before him generation of vipers. The Lord Jesus said, you are of your father the devil. And we may certainly come to the conclusion that these people were that at this time with Jeremiah, and especially those who were described as many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They should be the caretakers. They should be the ones to lead the way in righteousness. Do the right pruning. Do the right teaching. Do all the right things. Tell the people the same. They do it. Tell the people how to do it. But destroyed. Trodden down my portion under their feet. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. We could go on and say, well, that's what happened then, but we can't just keep on thinking what happened back there, those 2,600 years ago. But it's being repeated. Repeated. Yes, repeated today in our nation. In many nations where the gospel, where the word of God has been known and believed, reverenced, respected, understood, today, not. Why? I can think of years back when we used to hear of one nation that had many teachers and professors, so-called higher criticism, supposedly knew more about the Bible than what the Bible actually tells us. They would criticize it. They would take it apart. They would say, no, this isn't really true. They would undermine it. And I remember one professor that was told to go there, went there for 2 years, and it had this effect on him. And often that happens. I know of one professor, even possibly a president of a seminary today, was going to one of these places, one of these seminaries. He thought he'd be a missionary because he knew there was wrong teaching, liberal teaching. But instead of being a missionary, he succumbed to that teaching and came away like them, liberal in his teaching. We hear much about liberalism in politics, liberals and conservatives. We hear much about it in the church, liberals. What is it? What is it to be a liberal? I define it and liken it to being loose with the truth. If you take a liberal view of Scripture, you're loose with the truth. People say, well, we don't take the Scripture literally. No, they are liberal with their supposed interpretation, their supposed understanding, and will not take heed to it. What God, the Creator, the Sustainer, the Lawgiver, the Redeemer, has told us in Scripture with the warning, repent or perish. And thankfully, that's not the whole message. If that's all was there, we could say, well, now I repented, but now what? I repented of my sin, even if we could stop our sin. Now what? Guilty. Guilty before God. But there's one who paid the price through whom we can have a pardon. And I can, thankfully, even speaking of this book of Jeremiah, say, not to make this an excuse. And not like some people would say when we talk about a certain part of Scripture, well, there's other Scriptures just to say, well, that contradicts this or that makes this less. No. The Gospel doesn't make this less. In fact, the Gospel affirms this. Why did Christ have to die? Because people are like this as we just read it. Pastors are like that if left to themselves. Pastors are like that if they're not saved, like that old pastor. How God saved a Baptist preacher, preached for 25 years. Up to that time, what will a pastor do? Destroy the vineyard. If the blind lead the blind, they will both fall into the ditch. God said so. Don't play with it. Don't think you can know better, or you will go into the ditch. Because God has warned, beware false preachers. Beware those who come in sheep's clothing. And I cannot repeat it too often because there's too many. And where does it often begin? As I said, in the liberal seminaries, the liberal colleges, where they deny openly Scripture. Yes, Scripture. Scoff at the beginning of Scripture. The book of Genesis. The book of beginnings. How do we know the beginning of this world? By the Scripture. No other way. Theories? Yes. Lots of them. All theories. Truth? In the Scripture. Genesis, the book of beginning, in the beginning, God. And that same God was here. Those 3,000 some years later, speaking to Jeremiah and speaking himself. Sometimes, as I said, in the second person, Jeremiah would say, thus saith the Lord. And other times, the Lord himself, I have caused, I have plucked, I will do this. And I will do that. Yes, that God is in the heavens today. He has a throne of grace. He has a throne of judgment. Which will it be for you? Do you believe these things as they were there? And as Paul writes later of Israel, stating, these people were examples for us upon whom the ends of the world were come. They murmured, God destroyed. Oh, as I said last week, we are a murmuring people. We are dissatisfied people. We have been. And sometimes when we're dissatisfied, I think God can say, well, if you're so dissatisfied with what I give you, I'll give you something else. He did with Judah. He gave them something else. He gave them death. He gave them captivity. But in the midst of it, blessing, promise, for anyone that would say, yes, God is right, I'm wrong, the answer would be there. Thus saith the Lord, against all my evil neighbors that touch the inheritance which I have caused my people to inherit, behold, I will pluck them out of their land, and pluck out the house of Judah from among them. And it shall come to pass, after I have plucked them out, I will return and have compassion on them, and will bring them again, every man to his heritage, and every man to his land. Yes, there were promises for Jew and Gentile. Both need God. If you are one or the other, you need God with the other. Not to deny the other, but with the other. All together, the same. We're all guilty together. There's one Savior for all mankind, for every nation under heaven. When he was here on earth, the Lord Jesus, he said, preach the gospel to all nations, plural. When God gave that promise to Abraham, he said, in thy seed shall all nations be blessed. That was here as well. Listen, the Lord liveth, as they taught my people to swear by Baal. They shall be built up in the midst of my people. But if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, saith the Lord. Right there we have both. The Lord liveth. They taught my people to swear to Baal. Then they shall be built up in the midst of my people. One, the wicked teaches those that know the Lord to do wickedness. And then God can turn things around and cause those who taught people to do wickedness, to love the world, to love idols, to submit to God's truth, to turn themselves. And that's what we read here. They shall be built in the midst of my people. Who are my people? We could give many answers for that, but basically, God's people are those who heard his voice. The Lord Jesus said when he was here on earth, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Follow God's people. If they're following Christ, go with them to Christ. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. He's the shepherd. We're the sheep. We need the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. My people, built in the midst of my people. Yes, some people say, well, the church is full of hypocrites, and there's too many. But either we go to church with the hypocrites or go to hell with them. One of the two. Go to church and learn, despite hypocrites, despite preachers that God has to still convert. And all of us, except ye be converted and become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Be converted. Hear the voice of Christ. Come to him today.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.